which is Christ the Lord. Here the angels announce good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now I want you to notice that the tidings of great joy centered upon the person they were announcing. One they gave the titles to, verse 11, of Savior and Christ the Lord. Now there's a lot to get excited about Christmas. Few people don't like this holiday. It ranks at the top of most people's list. But Christmas isn't about all the presents. It's about the person who came. And that's what we celebrate. Galatians chapter 4, verse number 4 says, "And when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son." I want you to think about this Son for just a minute in terms of the titles the angels gave Him, the person who came. First of all, He's introduced as a Savior. Are you familiar with that word, Savior? It means a deliverer. It means somebody who rescues another person or sets them free from trouble or oppression. Of these, there have been hundreds in history. Almost every nation has someone they look to as a hero or a Savior that delivered their nation from some kind of tyranny and helped them establish their national government. In our own country, we probably think of some of the founding fathers of our country, men like Thomas Jefferson and George Washington and the like, but those we would look as people who helped us throw off the tyranny of England and establish our country. Well, every Savior does that. And there's no exception of the Savior that's in our text. His job was to come to set people free from tyranny, but not from other nations. The Bible says the tyranny that Jesus came to help us with has nothing to do with men and nations. It has everything to do with sin in the human heart. The Bible says in Matthew 1 and verse 21, the vision given to Joseph before the birth of the Christ child, angel said to Joseph, "She will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Christmas reminds us then that people aren't free. Not everybody is. Because we're all enslaved to some kind of tyranny. Tyranny is sin. You probably don't think of, maybe you don't think of sin as tyranny. That's the way the Bible pictures it. We are enslaved by our own sin. It's the lie you told. It's the anger you hold. It's the lust you stimulate. It's the greed you tolerate. And before God, we're enslaved by sin, and we need help. And Jesus was the answer. He is the Savior, the one appointed for the job of delivering people. Hey, that's great news, of great joy for all people. He's the Savior, but He's also identified in the text as Christ the Lord. Now, the word Christ is a little less familiar. It comes from a Hebrew word. The Hebrew word would be Messiah. It means anointed one. He refers to one who's been appointed by God for a special task. And Christ was appointed by God as His official representative on planet Earth. "No man hath seen God at any time," John chapter 1 says, "but the only begotten of the Father, He hath declared Him." Jesus declared to us what God is like as God's official representative. That means that He above all others has authority to speak on God's behalf. There's a misconception today that there are many ways to God and many paths up the mountain, and that everybody arrives at the top eventually. That is to contradict the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the one with authority from God to speak for Him. If we want to know how to please God then and find God's favor, we've got to listen to His appointed representative. Well, there are other paths, and you can listen to other voices, but none speak with the authority of Jesus Christ. He alone has the authority to represent God and tell us how to make our way back to God. If you want to please God, you ought to come through the official channel. We do this in government all the time. If you want to bring a grievance, if you want to bring a complaint, there's legal channels that you have to go through. You can't just haul your friend or your neighbor into court because you have some issue with them. You have to fill out the right paperwork. You have to do the right red tape. And if you want to do the red tape with God that you need to do, you have to come through the channel of Jesus Christ. Some people find that too exclusive. I'm just thankful that God made a way. He provided a path. And it might not be the path that I would have picked, but it is a path. He is Christ the Lord. I want to ask you, what is Jesus in the manger to you? Is He just a cute little baby? A reason to get off of work this time? time of year or get some holiday pay. That would be a blessing. Nothing wrong with time off work and nothing wrong with bonus pay. I'm all for that. But Jesus is so much more than that. He is the Savior, and He is Christ the Lord, the one who has the right to speak on God's behalf. If you want joy then, real joy, it centers on the babe in the manger and the Christ who came from that manger, the Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to let Him into your heart. There's another reason we ring the bells at Christmas. We celebrate the person who came. We also celebrate the peace He gave. Notice, if you will, verses 13 and 14. Luke 2 says, "And suddenly there was with that angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Did you catch that? He said something rather ironic. Peace on earth. Do you live on the same planet I do? Do you read about the wars and see them pictured on television like I do? Earlier this year, Russia takes Crimea. Now is involved in combat in Syria, as we are. Hey, and it's not just what's happening around the world or in the Middle East. We're dealing with campus shootings in our country this year. Most recently, a Planned Parenthood attack. Is there anything but peace on earth in our world today? But the Bible says, through these angels, that God was giving peace on earth and goodwill to men. How can that be? That seems odd. Peace does not rule on our earth. And it's no different in our day. Over 100 years ago, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow was writing a poem you might be familiar with. It's even been turned into a carol. "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day." Remember that one? One of the stanzas reads this way. "And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." From the dawn of history until the present day, the people are at war with each other. Remember the first two sons born into the world, Cain and Abel? One rises up and kills his brother. And to this day, men continue the savagery. There is no peace on earth except in what Jesus came to offer. Now, I want you to notice, along with this, this is peace on earth, but it also says goodwill to men. The peace He gave has to do with men. God has declared peace on earth through the first Christmas. Where then can it be found? Well, I'd like to suggest that government leaders aren't going to get us there. I'm going to suggest that armies aren't going to get us there. Because that kind of peace has been stripped from the world because of the curse of sin. But there is a kind of peace that the whole world can know. Maybe not on a national level, but on a personal level. And I believe this is the kind of peace that Luke chapter 2 is talking about. Peace in your heart. Peace with God. When you know you're right with Him. Does that sound difficult to you? Does it sound difficult to be right with God? The Bible says it's not. Because the Bible gave us Jesus Christ, who is the answer to making peace with God. According to the Bible, all we have to do is admit that we're sinners, disqualified from God's favor, and beg for His mercy. And the person who asks for mercy suddenly finds himself in favor with God. You might not be perfect. No, you aren't. None of us are perfect. But we can be made right with God through Jesus Christ. And we can find His favor when we ask for mercy. When I think about peace, then, I think that it is possible on earth, in my heart, and in your heart, and among men. The word goodwill in this verse means favor or divine approval. And when we meet with God's approval by finding mercy in Christ, we enjoy peace, whether or not the rest of the world does. However, we continue in life thinking we're okay without God, we can make it on our own without Christ, we're going to find ourselves in a pit of despair. I'll give you one example. Some of you may recall in some older films watching a fellow by the name of George Sanders. He was known for his high-class British accent, and he often played roles as a villain. I can't remember one of the movies he was known for. Anyway, he had grown weary of life after making some success in Hollywood films in the 40s and the 50s. Later in life, at age 65, he took his own life. But he left behind a suicide note with these words. Dear world, I'm leaving because I'm bored. I feel I've lived long enough. I'm leaving you with your worries in this sweet cesspool. Good luck. He's not the only one we've heard about. Really at the top of his career, at his day he would be a household name through the movies that he performed, but still in despair. You know, I wonder if there's some people in this room that might just, outwardly, you're successful, you got it together, you can hold down a job, you can pay your taxes and you take care of your family. But inside there's a despair, there's an emptiness there. It's because you're not yet in favor with God. And you can have it if you look past the world to the God who came to save the world in His Son, Jesus Christ. Without peace, the peace that Christ offers at Christmas or any time of the year, life doesn't make sense. But if you want joy, real joy, let Jesus come into your heart. Final thought from this passage. The bells toll because of the person who came. The bells toll because of the peace He gave. The bells toll also for this reason, the promise He fulfilled. About 2,000 years before the birth of Christ, God made a promise to Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation. He said in Genesis chapter 28, verse number 14, that in him and his seed, all the families of the world, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Now, how could God say that to Abraham, particularly a man who didn't have a son until later in life, when he was 100? How could God say Abraham's seed will become a blessing to the family of the earth? Because God was thinking of Abraham's greater son. Generations later, that son, Jesus Christ, is identified in the New Testament, Mark chapter 1, as the son of David, the son of Abraham. That's who Jesus Christ is, and He fulfills a promise long awaited. Hey, promises are neat when they're fulfilled, and they're a reason to celebrate. And we celebrate at Christmas that God's promise has been fulfilled. He said He'd send somebody to deliver the world, and He has. That person is Jesus Christ. So the bells toll to celebrate a promise fulfilled. God then wants to include you in the blessing. How could we be included in Abraham's blessing, a blessing that would be on all the families of the earth? Well, the blessing is if you become part of the family of God. And how do you do that? Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 says, we're all children of God by this means, via this way, faith in Jesus Christ. Can you see it? Is it there? Yes. By faith in Jesus Christ. It might sound complicated, but God's made it as simple as possible. A 3 or 4-year-old can understand this, as well as somebody who's 73 or 4. If you would give up trying to make life work on your own and receive from God the gift that He gave you in Jesus Christ, you can enjoy fellowship in the family of God, both now and forever. The greatest blessing in life is knowing you belong to God's family for time and eternity. If you go through Christmas and miss out on this great gift that God gave you, you have really missed the point. This really is about Christ. That's why we call it Christmas. Christmas. If you want joy, real joy, Jesus and into your heart. It happened just 3 weeks before Christmas to a pastor and his wife in Irvine, California. They had just finished putting up all their decorations. I want to ask for a show of hands, how many of you are still working on that? You've got 5 days to go. After they hung all their decorations, Pastor Dave walked out on the porch and noticed in his front yard, one of his 3 yard signs was missing. For years, since 1982, he and his wife had put up 3 yard signs. Love, joy, and peace. And people would drive by just like they do holiday lights at this time of year. But some thief, some knucklehead came through, clipped the wires he had holding his joy signs at the house, and took it away. Now, what would you feel like if someone stole your joy 3 weeks before Christmas? Pastor Dave didn't have time to make a new sign, and quite honestly, didn't have a heart to do so either. It's about that time, though, someone began attending his church. A lady in the church began to invite her ex-husband to church, and they asked for counseling. And so right after the holidays, he began counseling them, and he counseled Tom and Eddie for about 3 months. Tom was an ex-con, addicted to gambling, drug user, very difficult, would not open up to redemption, forgiveness, faith in Jesus Christ. And after about 3 months, Pastor Dave was about ready to give up on the whole thing. But during the time that he was counseling, though, Tom had offered, because he was a carpenter, to make Pastor Dave a new joy sign for his yard. So Tom was working on the sign, and one day, while he was working on the sign, he had a little epiphany. When he finished the sign, he went to Pastor Dave, and they met up, and he had the sign, and he said, "I get it." Pastor Dave looked at him and went, "Get what?" He says, "I get it. Love, joy, and peace, they come from God." That day, Pastor Dave had the opportunity of pointing Tom to something he'd been trying to get him to see for 3 months. That really, his life, his marriage, love, joy, and peace would not come until he took Jesus. And so that's what Tom did that day. And you know what? Pastor Dave got his joy back in two ways. He got his joy sign, and he welcomed a new person into the family of God. One or more of you in the room today might be just like Tom. You're missing out on love, joy, or peace. You're not going to find it apart from God. So will you open your heart to Him? Will you let Jesus come into your heart? Let's pause for a moment.